If you'd like this morning, please open your Bibles to Psalms chapter 8. Psalm 8. Be reading the first 8 verses of this chapter for the base of our lesson. O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. In this writing from the psalmist, we see that he asks the question, what is man that you are mindful of him? David asked this question hundreds of years ago. And even in questioning who man is, that God should be mindful of him, David went on to note and verify that God made man, and that God gives man his life and his abilities. So as we live on this earth, we should be able to realize that there is a God and that he is alive and he is real, because we're limited in what we can do. And we see the sunshine in the evening and the night and the moon and the stars. We receive the rain. We see the storms come and go. We see the leaves turn green in the spring, the grass grow. We see it fade away in the fall and come alive again in the spring. The evidence of God, the evidence of his power, is everywhere. And so man is here on this earth because God put us here. And so this morning, let's take a few minutes and talk about some things that God talks about in his word concerning man. There have been many questions and discussions regarding man, especially in recent months and recent years. Society in general, and in the political realm, and in the group of people around the world who want to just be left alone and just do as they want to do and ignore God, refuse God, do not acknowledge God at all in their life, they have come to the point that they don't even want to refer to someone as a man or a woman. They don't want to refer to people as God designated us as who we are. And so in that, people have turned their backs on God. They've turned their eyes and their ears on the Word of God. They've closed their mind to learning and instruction, because God's Word has been around longer than any book that's ever been written. God is eternal. His Word is eternal. His Word is true. God cannot lie. But the book that he gives us, the Bible, the 66 books in the Bible, they were written by man who received the instructions from God over all those years, 1,600 years approximately, by 40 different men who were inspired of God. And everything in that book, it works together. It's in complete harmony. There's not one word or one verse in the entire book that contradicts itself. So it has to come from a higher power, because man could never write a book that would be in that type of harmony, even over that many years by 40 different men, many of them living in different generations in different times and did not even know each other. So how could a book be written by man that had no flaws in it? This book comes from God. And in that book, he tells us about man. He tells about me and all men of all ages. And let's take a few minutes this morning and talk about man, what man is, what God has done concerning man. And we think about that. We understand who man is and what God wants us to do. So man is important in the creation. We see that God put him together and made him in his own image. God created man. So this morning, as we think about man and who he is, what is man? Well, turn with me to that Psalms 8 and verse 4, and let's look at some of the things that God says concerning man. As we look at these verses, the 8 verses, discussed several things that God has done for us. And so I had the wrong slide up, so I'm changing it over to what is man, so we can see what I'm talking about. I put my second sermon on my first slide, and so we're going back to the correct sermon now. So what is man? Man, of course, God gives several answers to what man is. So to find the question, what is man, that you're mindful of him, David asked that question. And so we've already talked about those things. And so we look at these lessons that we can find. And so we consider the question this morning in our lesson, what is man and who is man? As the psalmist asked the question there in Psalms chapter 8 and verse 4. And so we mentioned that there have always been questions regarding man, who he is, the movements that have been going on in recent months and recent years where people have tried to change who man is and give man a different definition. Recently, not too many months back, there was a person that testified in before some of the senators or representatives in Washington, and she was up for a job in government, and they asked her if she could define a woman, and she could not define what woman is. And certainly, so people, they have taken the Word of God out of life. God gives the definition of man and woman. So let's consider some information that's given this morning about who is man, what is man. And so Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, we see that, if you'll turn back there, we see that man is the creation of God. And you already know that before we talked about it this morning, but he is the creation of God. In the beginning, God made everything. And then he saw that everything was good, but then he made man. He said, let us make man in our image. So he made God. God made man in the very beginning, in creation. And so he made it in his own images. Image, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Let's read those two verses. I'm sure you've read those verses several times, but let's go this morning and look at these two verses. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So these few verses we've read are going to cover two or three points this morning. What is man? Man is the creation of God. Man is in God's image. That is, that we are a living soul. We're a spirit. God is a spirit, and he breathed into to man the breath of life. So we live in a physical body that he made from the dust of the earth, and we are a spirit. We are like God. We are eternal. And so we're the creation of God. We're made in God's image. We're formed from the dust of the earth that we just read. And we possess a soul. Look again at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. We possess a soul. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Some versions say a living being. Now, there are people in the world today, and always have been people, who want to profess and say that they don't believe in God, that they don't believe in a life hereafter, that they believe that when a man dies, he dies just like any other animal, and it's over with. And some of them's concept of life is, enjoy life, enjoy all the pleasures that you can have, and live in sin if you want to, involve yourself in anything you want to do that's pleasurable for you, because when you die, it's all over. Well, we see from God's Word that man is created of God, he's made in God's image, we're formed with the dust of the earth, and we possess a soul, and our soul is eternal. When we die, our bodies go back to the dust of the earth, and our spirit goes back to God who gave it. Well, what is man? God made him holy and upright. If you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 29, we see that Solomon, in his wisdom there, he said, true to this only I have found that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. So he made man holy and upright. He made man holy because man is made in his image. We are a spiritual being. We have a soul. And then he made man upright. What is man? Man is a creation of God that's endowed with intelligence. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. Let's look at verses 19 and 20. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So man was endowed with intelligence. He made man, and he made man over every living creature. Look at Colossians 3 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the church at Colossae, he pointed out the fact that we as men, as human beings, we are endowed with intelligence. He says there, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So that's verse 16. Let's go back to verse 10. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So we have knowledge, we have intelligence, because God allows us to have that. He gave that to man. So let's review these few points this morning as we look at what man is. He's the creation of God. We are made in God's image. We're formed to the dust of the earth. We possess a soul. We're made holy and upright. We're endowed with knowledge. But then turn with me, if you will, to Psalms chapter 139. Psalms 139. And let's look at a few verses there. Psalms 139, verses 14 through 16. And in these verses, we see that man is wonderfully made. Well, man is wonderfully made because he is a creation of God. God made man, so it's a wonderful work. Psalms 139, verses 14 through 16. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous of your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. And so man is wonderfully made. So this morning, as we are here to worship God, we worship our Creator. We worship the one who's the giver and the sustainer of life. We worship the God of heaven and earth. We worship God, the one true and living God, Jehovah God, who sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins. We worship him because he made us, and we are to worship him. We are the created. God is the creator. We are the creation. God made everything. So what is man? Psalms 8 and verse 4. Well, we go back and we see that man was given wide dominion over all things, over all animals and all things when he made man. So man was made, and he was made and given dominion over everything else on the earth. Now, there are those today who try to push back and say that man needs to submit and think more of an animal than they do a human life. Or that man is not really in charge, that animal rights are more important than human rights. And certainly animal rights are good. We love animals. We love our pets. We love our dogs and our cats, or whatever it may be, a parakeet. And animals are good. Animals are good. They are there for our use. Yet there are people today who tell us that they want to take cows out of existence, They want to do away with cattle farming. They want to do with milk. They want to do away with drinking milk because they believe that it's bad. And they think that man is using the meat of a cow and the milk of a cow, and they should not do that. And so there are groups that are trying to push food on us that are nothing more than just basically crumbs of leaves or dried insects ground up. So what's the problem with people today that think on that? They take away what God has given man's dominion over all animal life, over all plant life. God made the plant life. He put the fruit here and the vegetables and the plant life and the seed that it would provide for man his food and his nourishment to sustain his life. God did that. He put the water here for us to drink. He put the light to sustain life for us. But God put man here as a caretaker of all these things. Not just a caretaker of animal life and plant life, but that man would have wide dominion over all that. Because man is a spirit in the image of God, and God all made all these things to take care of man while he lives on this earth. Look at Genesis chapter 1 again, and let's go to verse 28. Genesis chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 28 reading. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food." And so, verses 30 and 31, it says, "Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so." Then God said, everything that he had made, God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and morning were the sixth day. So why is there so much confusion in people's minds around the world and in our country about who is man and what is man and who is woman and what is woman? There's confusion because people have not read the Word of God. And if they have read it and they have heard it, they don't believe it. That's the problem. Because in this book, it tells us who we are, where we came from, what we have here, and what our duties are. Well, what is man? A man is a sexual being made by God. He made both man, the male, and he made the woman, the female. And that lady that was questioned by some of our political leaders couldn't even identify and describe and define what a woman is. God gives the definition of a man. He gives the definition of a woman. God made the man. He took the bone from the side of Adam and made the woman, formed her, and she became a living soul, just like man did, and he gave her to the man. So, confusion exists. Things are being pushed back on good people to try to push us away from the truth of who God is, who we are, why we're here, and what we're doing while we're here. We need to get into our Bibles and learn. We need to get into our Bibles and teach our children. Teach our children at home. Teach our grandchildren at home. Teach our great-grandchildren when they're with us, because they're probably not going to hear this in a public setting, most likely. And so they need to know the truth. They don't need to hear propaganda. They don't need to hear something that's been made up and pushed on people's minds to pull them away from God. They need to hear the truth about God and man. So, in the Bible we see that who is man, that God is mindful of him. Who is woman, and what is woman? Man is the male sex. and woman is the female sex. And that's it. Two. Two. Not a mix. Not numerous ones. But not more than two. But two. That's what God made. That's what God did. The information is real because it comes from God. The information is real because it's evident. That's all you can find. Now, you can say and promote that there are more. You can say and promote that man should be this and woman should be this and they can be this if they want to be. Well, people can think that all day long. But it's not going to change who we are because God made us in His image. Man and woman, then, that God created. Who is man? Who is woman? God created them to do what? To replenish the earth. Genesis 1:28. Two men and no women will not be able to replenish the earth. Two women and no men will not be able to replenish the earth. God made it. He put the natural course into place. And we should honor what God says about man and woman. Now, we got off to a rough start in our lesson this morning because I had the wrong slide on my computer to begin with. I had the second lesson on there, and so I got to bumbling around a little bit and getting it started to try to get the right slides on and get back to the right subject. But nonetheless, when we think about God and who He is and what's going on in society today and things are being pushed on us and on our children and our grandchildren, it's important that we as men and women are not afraid to stand up as Christians. It's time that we as real men stand up and are not afraid to give a thus saith the Lord and say this is truth. Now, if people want to accept it, that's fine. If they don't, they've got that choice. But don't let them push it on us and bind it on us and force us to engage in things and in thoughts and actions that is completely against nature, that is completely against God, and completely against the truth. Who is man? God made him. Who is woman? God made her. Who are we? We are made in His image, a creation, the creation of God, a living soul made from the dust of the earth, and we have a soul that's eternal. And so, what is man? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 17, verses 22-31. It's a familiar reading, and we won't have time to read all these this morning, but let's just think about Acts chapter 17, where Paul was going through Athens, and he observed all the idols that were made, and he saw that they were very religious, but they had idols to this one and that one and different ones, and he told them, he said, let me tell you who God is. Let me tell you who God is. So what is man? Man is the created of God. Paul told them on Mars Hill when he preached to them that they were the offspring of God. That we're the offspring of God. We are the creation of God. God made us. And he told them that it is in God, in Him, that we live and move and have our very being. So what is man? What is woman? We are the creation of God. We are the created who is to believe and obey and serve who? Our Creator. The Creator. God. The eternal God. The giver and sustainer of life. That basically, Acts 17, 22-31 describes all those things. Yet, we have so many people pushing back and pushing against the truth about God, about life, about men, about women, about male and female, and about what our place is in life and what dominion man has over animal and plant life, why God placed us here, what the things on this earth are for, and that we are men. Well, man's commitment to God is very important. We see that we need to make a commitment to God, and we need to be committed. My commitment to God and your commitment to God ought to come from the things that the Bible teaches. And I'd like to share just a few of these with you this morning. Our commitment to God is to be everything that God intended for me to be when He made me a man. in spirit, in soul, in will, in mind, in emotions, in body, in purpose, in strength, and in character. That ought to be our commitment to God as men. Man's commitment to God is to be steadfast. Even if others around us reject God and reject our faith in God, even if they ridicule our convictions, even if they question our sincerity, even if they belittle our beliefs, or if they laugh at us about our loyalty to God, are we going to stand up and be men and women of Christ? Or are we going to run away and hide like the rest of the world? Can't hide from God. Man's commitment to God is to stand with others that share a common bond in Jesus Christ. Stand with others that desire to walk in the right paths, that call upon God in sincerity and truth. Stand with others that seek to glorify God in society, in business, in government, at work, and at home. That ought to be my commitment. Because that's who I am. That's who God made me to be. He gave me the choice, though. I can either be that, or I can follow the ways of the world and wallow in sin like so many do. Well, my commitment to God is to care for the needs of my family with love and devotion, and to be there for my family, provide for them spiritually, materially, and physically. That's who man is. That's who man is. There's no place of value for someone who's lazy, that's idle, that will not care for their family, that will not love their wives as they should, love their children as they should. There's no place for that, although there are many who choose that route. Man's commitment to God is to help and serve others. Help and serve others as we have the opportunity in our community, wherever it may be, with the opportunity that arises and the ability we have. God put us here to do that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Treat your neighbor as you want to be treated. Our commitment to God needs to be that we humbly and faithfully labor in the service of God as an individual, as a member of the Lord's church, as a citizen, as a person with conviction and devotion to all that God asks. These statements that you're seeing on the board this morning are actually statements that can be backed up by many verses in the Bible. Well, my commitment to God is to be trusting and dependent on God. Man's commitment to God should be that we trust and we depend on Him, and that we're ever thankful for His Son, His Word, His will, His grace, and His mercy, and we faithfully do His will. Well, just a few thoughts this morning concerning man from God's Word and woman. Man and woman will die physically. We're going to pass in this life. Man and woman will face judgment from God. And each of us will have our soul placed somewhere for eternity. So, just food for thought this morning from the Word of God. Because if you open your eyes and you open your ears and you look around, you see that there are movements, that there are people, and there are lifestyles that are trying to reject God completely, put Him out of our lives, and make abuse and abuse everything that God has placed